Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
I mentioned in kind of in jest the Titans losing to the Jets, the same team that beat the Bills. Anything can happen on any given Sunday, sure. As the movie says.
Yes.
So if we're going to go down that road, let's look at the Bears, and they have to run the football, as we've been saying. Here's my biggest fear, is that the Bears are going to look at what's happened with the Buccaneers this season. And they're going to see teams that they maybe compare themselves with. They're not the Rams. They're not going to beat them, right? They're not that explosive. The Patriots were really close. And I know it was a home game for New England. There was a lot of emotion involved. But the Patriots gave the Buccaneers all they could handle. And they did it by running the ball four times. They threw 42 passes with a rookie quarterback. Mac Jones was terrific, but I don't think that is a game plan you want to mimic or try to copy or repeat. I think that was a rare case, kind of the exception to the rule. And I hope the Bears don't look at that and say, okay, we can do that because that worked.
David, when we were discussing what our biggest fears are, I think we have the same biggest fear. I think if they're going to pass the ball 42 times and run the ball a couple of times, that means that the play caller has changed, in my opinion. So that's my fear. My biggest fear is we're going to see Justin Fields in the pocket like it's the Cleveland game. You're going to go on the road and you're going to decide that he's ready now to kind of unleash, and you're going to uncork all the deep throws, and you're going to go empty backfield and expect him to get rid of the ball in a hurry and do all the things that we haven't seen him do yet. That's my biggest fear, is that the play caller will change and you'll get away from your identity, which is as a run-heavy team.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Okay, let's go.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score, TGIF. It is a glorious Friday. We've had a week of really interesting things. The Bulls opening up. A lot of people on the Bulls bandwagon, by the way, and they play tonight. And we're just gearing up for the Bears heading down to Tampa. Obviously, we got the Rick Hahn news conference coming up.
No, I don't think so.
At some point?
Yeah.
Some week?
Morning, Mully. Yeah, hi, happy David. Friday. It has been a fun week, and it's going to be a great weekend. Last night was an interesting night in sports, not necessarily locally.
No.
The Blackhawks, you wanted to look away again.
What?
Again,
hey,
we'll get to that.
What are they doing?
But how about the Dodgers? How about the Dodgers? The
Dodgers
NLCS
back?
Still going on. Three home runs, Chris Taylor. We're going to see what happens with the ALCS. Looking forward to keeping an eye on that. But, yeah, the big event this weekend is what's going to happen down in Tampa. How close are the Bears going to keep this game? It's funny to hear, like, a day later, you listen a little bit closer, the words that we use in describing things from the previous show. I like what you were saying about Justin Fields unleashing and uncorking. I'm just worried about the offense becoming unraveled. And I think that's the biggest fear going down there that it's going to get away from the Bears early,
yeah,
and then it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, that's the scary idea. You know, Tom Brady has done it all. He's done everything. Tom Brady is the Super Bowl champion. He is he's won a ton of them. He's won everywhere he's been. He's been in the league. How old is Tom? 44, something like that. He's been doing it forever. He's never faced an Ohio State quarterback before. Come on. As a Michigan man, let's take a listen to this.
Yeah,
I just found this funny.
It seems impossible, but as a Michigan guy, this is the first time in your NFL career you'll face a starting quarterback from Ohio State. I'm sure that rivalry is always kind of in you a little
bit. Yeah, that's. I'm not going to say anything too inflammatory about Ohio State. That's what you're getting to do, but I'll have my time. Usually Ohio State. This is Michigan State week, so I can kind of – those are the guys that I can kind of go after. That's interesting. Why is there not a lot of Ohio State quarterbacks in the pros? There's a lot of Michigan guys over the years, but not a lot of Ohio State guys.
Terrell Pryor threw a pass against you over the starter, so there's that.
All right, good. I'll be sure to say hi to him after the game.
Wow. Yeah, it's a nice little subtle jab.
That's not him taking shots. He's being led into that by the media.
He's led down that path.
Yes. But,
He's a willing participant, and he's doing that with tongue in cheek, and knowing the Michigan Ohio State rivalry, how much mileage his comments like that are going to get when he sort of is dismissive about the lack of Ohio State quarterbacks that are making an impact in the NFL.
Tom is so old that Michigan was dominating that series when he came out.
That's true.
That's a long time ago.
And it seemed like he faced Art Schleister.
Oh,
I
bet you that was a good game.
I bet you it was. But there haven't been a lot of Ohio State quarterbacks for whatever reason that have been that successful in the NFL. And I think he took great pleasure in reminding people of that.
Yeah.
So I don't think Craig Krenzel ever had a start against Tom Brady, did he?
No.
That was the Bears' exposure to the Ohio State quarterback experience. Who else are we missing
there? Dr. Craig Krenzel.
Yeah, Dr. Krenzel.
Well, we know that he didn't say anything to Nick Foles. He walked off and didn't talk to Nick Foles. Nick Foles, I mean, we don't think of him as such, but he started as a Michigan State.
He's a Michigan State quarterback.
Well, he was for a year.
The class as Kirk Cousins.
That was a great quarterback. Room.
There was a third quarterback.
Ryan Greasy, I think, was there at the time.
At Michigan?
I think he was. Michigan State.
No, not Michigan State. Greasy's a Michigan guy. Man.
Who am I thinking of? Is it Hoyer?
Brian Hoyer.
He was the
Kirk Cousins.
Room. Yeah.
And Nick Foles, I think, were part of the same either recruiting class or on the roster at the same time.
They were on the roster at the same time.
Brian Greasy, of course, played in front of Tom Brady.
Yes. So did Nick Foles. But he didn't get any kind of warm greeting.
No.
Tom was still miffed because he had forgotten how to count at that point last year.
I just wonder what this means for the post-game handshake. Does it mean
that
he's going?
That's what I'm asking.
Is he going to snub Justin Fields?
He's going to walk up to Justin Fields and give him the old. I'm straightening my hair because my hair is so nice.
Aaron Rodgers, very gracious to Justin Fields.
Oh, yeah. You've just whispered in his ear, I own you.
It's always nice when
I still own.
It's always nice
stadium.
When ownership gets along with players.
Let's talk about a long-term deal.
What can we do to make you more comfortable? Leave town? Okay.
Well, you're gonna love the facility in Arlington Heights.
Have you met Pat yet? Yeah.
The Bucks remain a 12.5-point favorite, the total is 47, which seems like a lot of points given that the Bears don't score.
A lot of points.
So I guess that explains the 12.5.
If it's 47, what's it going to 35 to?
Right.
Gee, I mean, how bad is this going to get?
Well, I mean, the Bears average 16.3 points a game, and these guys average 33.
I don't want to go down that road yet. Between 5 and 9, we got to try to look at this game in a professional way, right?
I agree.
Because I feel like at 9:15,
you can win any game in the NFL.
We have to maintain that, and I think that's true.
Yeah,
I think
of course
that's
it
true.
Is.
We've seen examples of that this year already.
Yes,
but it's going to have to be one of those kind of fluky games.
You know, I think you just have to not. You have to be not taken seriously. Let's put it that way. And you're going to have to be in the 20s. 24 would be nice, but then you're going to have to hold them down.
You have to hope the Bucks are looking past you for
yes.
for obvious reasons, and you have to hope that they come out flat and and distracted and whatever, and that this week they haven't had a good week of preparation because they've been too busy laughing at their jokes.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And you really have to, you know, you have to go out there with the idea, we're fixing our problems. We're going to tackle. We're going to take the ball away. We're going to be able to run, and we're going to put together some drives.
Well, and Molly, that requires tremendous focus, tremendous intensity.
Right.
And these are things that I think this week at Hallis Hall, I don't know that what's been going on outside the practice field gives us reason to believe that that focus will be tremendous and the intensity will be high. A lot of nonsense going on this week in terms of the storylines, in terms of the kind of peripheral stuff, the culture, if you will, the culture we talked about yesterday.
The Twitter bombs and the Instagram posts.
I don't like this nonsense about, the coaches having to address Twitter beefs, social media nonsense, also about, you know, lack of tackling, which is intensity. We have a report yesterday, Adam Schefter confirming Damian Williams being unvaccinated.
Good boy.
So these are things that they're all under the same umbrella, right?
Didn't he sit out a year?
He opted out last year.
And then he didn't get vaccinated.
And we had Ryan Pace not only understand that, know that, but endorse that idea that,
right, it didn't matter.
Your vaccination status doesn't affect my willingness to sign you as the general manager of the Chicago Bears, when in fact, it definitely 100% should have. Absolutely.
What is Schefter saying about the other guy, Robert Quinn?
I didn't see that. I don't know that.
Mike Fury, who's the wide receiver coach, has to be vaccinated, right?
Coaches have to be. I don't know about Quinn's status, and we've talked about that, you know, being reluctant to speculate, but there was the report yesterday. Adam Schefter in Twitter said that Damian Williams, as soon as he could come back, is Saturday because he was unvaccinated.
Right. So who proofread that? It's just mean.
That's understandable, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was just
it's slightly mean, but you...
That was bad.
Yeah. You,
sorry, Adam.
Not surprising.
I went for the cheap joke, and I like Adam. He's a good dude. I said that before. I mean, that was out of line.
But am I being unfair by lumping all these things in the same category? Is that an unfair generalization to wonder about the Bears' culture, focus, and how that's going to translate on Sunday because of all the things, several things... That have gone on this week.
You know, fewest yards in the league, fewest passing yards in the league. I think there are other issues that are more kind of in my focus than that. There have been distractions, don't get me wrong. The COVID stuff is a distraction. If that doesn't take away from your team, I mean, well, you're obviously losing players, so it takes away from your team, but I think that's definitely a distraction. The social media stuff, Just dumb. You know, who cares what Lance Briggs says? Don't retweet something from 10 years ago. And then don't take it down. Binksy's right. Don't take it down. And then, you know, hey, look what they did. They fined me. Oh, really?
Yeah, I understand.
So do you have a chronic late problem? Can I ask that question? Are you going to be on the plane on time? And then the response is, I'm going to take that down. Don't take it down. Just live with what your decisions are in the moment.
To upset the Buccaneers on Sunday, you are going to need razor-sharp focus.
That's exactly right.
And I just question whether or not this Bears team is capable of achieving that. I hope that I'm wrong, and I hope we're all surprised, and we come in Monday morning trying to figure out what the heck happened in Tampa. How did the Bears get that good? I just have my doubts, like a lot of people. That's why they are, you know, 12.5-point underdogs.
They're 12.5-point underdogs for a reason. And part of the reason is that Tampa's playing very well. Tom leads the league in passing yards. I mean, he's throwing the heck out of
it. And they're averaging 32 points a game.
Exactly. That's
pretty
tough.
Good. Yeah.
We saw week 7 begin with the Browns holding on to beat the Broncos 17-14. Some guy spent $500,000 betting on that game. Did you read that story?
I saw that, yeah. Saw the coverage. Heck? And I'd like to apologize to Case Keenum. I was very much...
Yeah.
Unfair. You didn't believe
he was going to win.
No.
But, you know, here's the thing about him. He's been with that coordinator. He's been in that system. It's there's a relationship there. I don't know.
That's
that
a scheme making an impact.
That's a scheme making an impact.
Yeah, right fit, right quarterback for that that's fit, right. And they have some talent. They were playing very shorthanded, and they beat Vic Fangio and company anyway.
And they're going to be shorthanded, according to Jay Glazer on Twitter. There we go. Baker Mayfield said that he has a torn labrum, and he also fractured his humerus bone, which
that's
is in his shoulder. No, it's not a funny injury. According to a scan this week, Baker said that the fracture is preventing his rotator cuff from firing. Now, that's, I believe, his left arm, right?
Yeah.
That's not his throwing arm. Nonetheless, that probably needs a surgical solution, and there's a good chance he's not going to be around.
There's some speculation about whether or not he could come back without it. I think that the safest, most conservative way to go would be surgery, especially with a commodity. I don't want to talk about him like a
– yes.
But that's what they
but they have a big investment in him.
It's a big investment, and you got to be careful and cautious there.
All right, so the Dodgers, you mentioned the home runs. They are now it's 3-2. It's not like they tied the series, but it's 3-2.
I still think they have a good shot of winning this series.
It moves back to Atlanta for Game 6 Saturday. I do not know what the start time is. That will depend on tonight, because tonight you've got Houston at home with a chance to get to the World Series. They can clinch a third pennant in 5 years with a victory in Game 6 over
I think it's going to happen tonight.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I think that is going to be – one of those things. They just doesn't matter who's healthy with the rotation. Doesn't matter about their pitching. This is a team that's going to outslug you, even the Red Sox.
All right, we got great stuff to talk about. We're going to get through all of it, all the headlines of the day on the 5 at 5. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top five sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
What do you make of Bilal Nichols' sudden appearance on the injured list, missing practice with a knee issue? Is that as bad a turn of events as possible given the state of the defensive line?
It's an awful turn of events, right? I mean, Bilal Nichols is a good player, and he has been a real good player for this team, and he's part of their rotation. And you've already got injuries on the defensive line, and the last thing you need is another one. It's just something you don't need. Now, they still have some good players. They, you know, they do seem to know what a defensive lineman looks like. And so we'll have other people available and we'll see how they can do. But, you know, when your top guys go down, you've got to have guys that you feel can replace them. And now we're talking about losing one of your top guys and then one of your another top replacement guys, if not a guy that that does a pretty good job as a starter. So it was cringy. You know, you see that. You're like, no. You need him to be okay. So not good.
Yeah, I think that is definitely going to test their depth again. It's their strongest position group. A guy like, you know, we talk about Mario Edwards Jr. getting in trouble for dumb penalties. He's going to get more opportunities, I think, to commit dumb penalties because they're going to have to lean on him a little bit more. Maybe a guy like Blackson as well. They do have some options there. I don't know if their success against the Buccaneers is you know, going to revolve around Bilal Nichols' availability, but it doesn't help. A guy like Akeem Hicks, I think people have to be realistic. He didn't look like somebody who's going to be coming back, and the injury report reflects that. So if you go into this game and you don't have Quinn, we don't know, but unlikely. You don't have Hicks, now you don't have Nichols. You're going to need big games out of Khalil Mack, who's going up against a Buck offensive line that is very stable. And, you know, Tristan Wirfs gave up one sack last year, I believe. And you know who it was, too? Khalil Mack. So it's one of those things where you're going to need Khalil Mack to almost be one and a half players this week and have one of those games. And he's not healthy 100%.
Right.
So anytime that you see a strength become a potential weakness because of injury, it's not a good development, and that's what's happening here.
Tom Brady loves to step up into the pocket, and you need Nichols, and you need Hicks, and you need Mack, and you need Quinn putting the pressure on the outside so that these guys, when they're pushing guys back into Tom, you can make, you know, the only way the Bears can win this game is to make Tom Brady uncomfortable, and you need all hands on deck with that front seven. Mully, we've talked about it, David, a lot. They have invested a ton of money in that front group, and they need them all. You know, if they're all there, this plan can kind of sort of work. It can do just enough that you might be able to make the postseason with 9, maybe if you got lucky with the right scheduling, 1 year, 10 wins. But when you start taking guys out, then it starts falling apart. But I know this isn't part of the question, but boy, I want to see Ryan Jensen. I believe he's 69. He's a red-haired guy, kind of ponytail sticking out of the back of his helmet for the Bucks. I mean, that guy plays beyond the echo of the whistle. That guy goes downfield and gets it. I want to see, if you're into interior line play, which I am, I'll raise my hand, I'm right there for it. I want to see that matchup. I want to see him and Akeem Hicks getting into it, because that is must-see television if you're in for that kind of thing. So hopefully those guys are going to play. So keep an eye on Ryan Jensen for the Bucks against Akeem Hicks. That is, like, awesome.
Are you sure Akeem's playing? I mean,
I said I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, of course I'm not.
I would doubt it.
I kind of doubt it.
Yeah. I think Mack's playing. Yeah.
I don't think.
Oh, Mack's playing.
I don't
sure.
think Robert Quinn's playing, and I don't think Akeem's playing. Not after the way he was. He couldn't come in the second half.
Don't even know if those guys would be on the plane.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
I guess we'll find out tomorrow.
Clue, right?
But
right. Be the first
with
clue.
Quinn not going.
Well,
and
Quinn won't be on.
We don't know about the COVID situation. There's
right.
a lot of curiosity there. But I think Akeem Hicks, you worry that it's going to be something that lingers because of the the type of injury it is and the way that he looked after that final sack.
Who's got a reservation at Burns Steakhouse? That's how we'll find out who's got going to be there or not.
Scoreboard update.
From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here's what's happening. We'll be talking about it all morning. We just talked about the Bears' injury issues. Also, Adam Schefter yesterday reporting on Twitter that the running back, Damian Williams, is on the reserve COVID list because he is not vaccinated, and there's a mandatory 10-day waiting period, so we'll have to wait for Saturday to find out whether or not he will be in or out. Bucks still a 12.5-point favorite, a total of 47. It's a 3:25 kick on Sunday. CBS the place. They're sending their A-team of Nance and Romo to cover it. Last night, right here on the score, Week 7 got underway. The Broncos fell to the Browns. 17-14. Case Keenum was in there in reserve. He's the reserve for Mayfield, who is out with the shoulder injury that we've been talking about. NLCS, Game 5, it was all Dodgers. Chris Taylor, 3 home runs, drove in 6. A.J. Pollock had 2 home runs of his own. The Dodgers have closed the gap against the Braves. They still lead the series 3-2. It moves back to Atlanta. Game 6 is Saturday. The time, TBD, based on the ALCS later tonight. Max Scherzer is starting for the Dodgers. Game 6 tonight, ALCS in Houston. Astros 1-1 away from a World Series. They clinched their 3rd pennant in 5 years with a victory over the Red Sox. Blackhawks, they're still looking for their first win of the season. They fall to the Canucks 4-1. Alec DeBrincat with the lone goal. Sunday, they will host the Red Wings in search of their first win. The Bulls looking for win number 2. They're hosting the Pelicans. They open up the UC portion of their schedule, and the coverage starts at 6:45 right here on the score. Chuck Swirsky with the pregame. Join the Cats at Ryan Field for matchups with Minnesota and Iowa. You can buy tickets at nusports.com.
It's definitely a valid question by you.
What do you make of Bears defensive coordinator Sean Desai saying the Bears defense requires a lot from the safety position and Eddie Jackson is doing a great job running the defense and...
He takes a command out there in the back end.
What about tackling?
I got to do a better job coaching tackling, quite frankly.
Is Desai the problem or simply an enabler?
Oh, gosh. You know, I like Sean Desai a lot. I think he's a smart defensive coordinator. I even think he could be a good head coach in this league. At least that's the way this could be projected, and I see him on that path. But I don't think he handled that well yesterday. I think this Bears coaching staff has had a bad week, and I think they've had a worse week than the players have because there's been a lot of things that have happened that you wonder about the overall discipline and rigid nature of the culture, of the building, of the team. And hearing Sean Desai sound like an enabler, sound like a guy that was tolerant of some weak tackling. Tackling's an attitude. We say it all the time. Tackling's an attitude. Eddie Jackson doesn't have the mentality that we have seen, obviously, where he's going to get that ball carrier down no matter what. And he's not held accountable publicly to that degree that he should. And when he is held accountable by analysts like who are former players on the Hall of Fame ballot this year, like Lance Briggs, he goes to social media and whines about it. So I did not like this turn of events with Sean Desai. I have a lot of respect for the way he calls games and the defenses he puts the Bears into that make an impact. But I don't think this was a good moment for him. This is a game where the Buccaneers come in with the receivers. They lead the league in yards after the catch. If you need one thing out of your secondary, it is to make sure tackles. And to make sure tackles, you got to be in a state of mind to do that. And giving him a pass based on the last week, giving Eddie Jackson that pass publicly is not putting that defensive secondary, in my view, in the right state of mind.
I think when you ask the question, is Desai the problem or simply an enabler, that is a very difficult – he's not the problem. He's doing a good job. Is he an enabler? Well, that basically the question leads you to that because he's not standing up to the player and saying, hey, this has to be better, that has to be better. He didn't say, we have to do a better job tackling. In response to that question, he didn't say, we have to do a better job tackling. I've got to teach it better, and everybody better start tackling better. That's what you want to hear from a football coach, okay? Sean Desai is a really bright guy. I think he's doing a really good job. And I'm not going after him. But you find yourself in a position where you got one of two choices. You defend the player or you speak the truth. Because Eddie Jackson's not getting it done, man. He's not tackling and he's not getting these takeaways. So you combine that and he's not earning his money. The money creates the expectation, and the expectation is that he's going to be a Pro Bowl level player, and you don't get voted into Pro Bowls when you can't tackle someone, when you miss tackles for a living, when the Bears are missing tackles all over the place. They've missed 37 tackles, okay? They have 25 tackles for loss. So think about it that way. They are more likely to miss a guy than to tackle him in the backfield. That's pretty ugly.
But if you are an enabler, then you are also part of the problem. So I think he can be both in this situation, but the enabler comes first in the answering the question. He is an enabler, so he is a problem. Yeah, the NFL, not for long. You don't teach tackling at the NFL level. You learned how to tackle when you were in high school. That's when you learned how to tackle. I mean, you might have tackled in grade school if you played back then, but you actually learned how to tackle in high school. They don't teach tackling in the NFL. I mean, so again, like, you know, David, I think Sean Desai is a pretty sharp guy, I guess, from where I'm sitting. But, like, I got to do a better job of teaching tackling? What? Like, no. You don't have time to teach tackling at the NFL level. No. So, Sean, you're an enabler. And you know what that means? You're also part of the problem.
That's a great question.
What do you think of the MLB Players Association naming 30-year-old Patrick Wisdom as a finalist for the NL Outstanding Rookie Award? Does the fact that he's a year older than the last Cubs rookie so honored, Chris Bryant, 6 years ago, give you pause, or do you reserve that for Cuban players like Jose Abreu, who was 27 when he won the award in 2014, Dustin?
Wow. I mean, Dustin, we know, didn't like Abreu getting the award because he felt he played professionally in Cuba.
Well, he did. I didn't think he did.
Well,
it's
but
not a thinking
you don't think that minor league baseball is professional baseball?
No, it's not. Not in this country. It's not. No.
Okay. So you think that minor league baseball in this country isn't as good as Cuban baseball?
Correct.
Okay. Just double checking. Yeah. I don't think a guy who's 30 should win a Rookie of the Year award. I think it's great that he lasted as long as he did. It's great that the family stuck by him and that he was that close to getting it. But the very fact that the guy that won the award 6 years ago is a year younger than him is insane to me. So God bless him. He had a great season. It's a real fun story, but 30-year-old Rookie of the Year, thanks anyway.
I don't think he's going to win.
No, he's not.
So I think it's kind of much ado about nothing, but I do think that it establishes, you know, does it bother you if guys win it at a certain age? Technically, he's still his first year as a Major League Baseball player, and it is a big difference between him and a 22-year-old who may have been drafted, you know, 18 months ago or whoever he's up against. And it's very odd. And their journeys are different. Patrick Wisdom's story is probably better than his career will be. The fact that, you know, he's up here now and we're talking about him hitting, you know, setting a record for home runs. What did he end up with, 26, 27 home runs? It's fun to consider. Abreu should not have been questioned either, in my view. I think because he came over, yeah, he competed in Cuba, but it's very different. And maybe it is the equivalent of AAA baseball in Cuba, the professional leagues. But as a major leaguer, it was his first year. He deserved it. Patrick Wisdom, it was his first year technically. So he is worthy of being nominated, even though I don't think he's got a shot at winning.
This is a blatant case of ageism. We're saying that older people are not allowed to win awards, that it's only for the youth. It's not very nice, not very fair. Listen, if he wins the award, I think then maybe we could go back and have a conversation. But as you pointed out in your question, in your wording, so Chris Bryant was 29, right? Was that what you were saying?
No, he is 29.
He is 29 now. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Patrick Wisdom is older than Chris Bryant is now.
Yes.
And Chris Bryant is a...
Patrick Wisdom is currently older than Chris Bryant, who won the award
7 years
ago. 7 years ago now.
And less handsome.
And not as tall. Not that I've been in the Cubs clubhouse with COVID and everything else. But listen, if he wins, it's a great story. I mean, whatever. Again, Jose Abreu was playing professional. That's what they call it there. It was professional baseball. He had been in that league for forever.
So Ichiro didn't deserve a Rookie of the Year award.
No, he didn't. We had been together back then. I probably spouted that off on One-on-One Sports or Sporting News Radio back in the day.
You have the tape?
I it's probably on a VHS tape in my parents' basement. You got to fix the tracking on it to make sure it's not.
We were together there. That's pretty funny.
I'm sorry, I have a question for you.
Do you agree with what Charles Barkley said to ESPN about the Bulls' victory in Detroit being impressive because...
See, people, one thing they don't understand about sports, when the season first starts, there are no easy games. I tell people, teams don't know they suck until 10, 15, 20 games into the season. Everybody's excited to start the season. Everybody's engaged. Everybody's healthy and ready. But you don't realize, in every sport, you don't realize you got a bad team until one third in. So them going into Detroit, winning last night. So my surprise team, and I don't even know if it's a surprise, the Chicago Bulls are a team I think people should pay attention to.
Do you agree with Barkley that the Bulls are a team that deserves attention?
100%. 100%. Charles is exactly right. And I do think it was an encouraging victory, even though it was not the aesthetically as pleasing as you would like it to be. It was effective. It was evidence of resilience. All those things. It was ugly, but it was a victory, and it's much better than the alternative. So now we have the Bulls capable of going on a little bit of a run here, given the schedule, given tonight, home opener, right here on the Score. Without Zion Williamson, the Pelicans come into town. They're beatable. The Bulls have a very good shot of starting 2-0. And then we've been talking about it. By Monday night, they could be 4-0. That would be a lot of fun. And I do think teams take a while to figure out exactly what they are or what they're not. With this Bulls team, the way they're put together, the talent that is obvious, their ceiling is probably a 4 or 5 seed. We talked about it yesterday, but I do think that's realistic. And guys like Charles Barkley see what we see. They see Zach LaVine taking that next step into elite status. They see Vooch being a double-double machine. They see DeRozan giving that veteran stability, a scoring option that is 1A perhaps, or 2 or 3, but it doesn't matter. And then the rest of the stuff will come together naturally. So I think the biggest source of confidence might be Billy Donovan as the coach. So I am with Charles Barkley. This Bulls team is one that is going to deserve the attention it receives.
Yeah, I love what Barkley said, first of all. I think there's a lot of wisdom to it, okay? I think that is the case, that it takes a third of a season for all teams in all sports to understand, oh, God, we really are bad, or, we got a shot here. We're better than people think. I really believe that. I think he is speaking the truth, and in the NBA, it does take a little while, and it does take, there are teams that don't realize that they're not there yet. So the Bulls winning that game on the road is huge, because they were supposed to win it, and because they did win it, and because they showed that they can score. And when you can score in the NBA, you're going to have a chance. If you can stay in games and you have the ability to close them, you're going to have a chance. So I think that they've really got to get kind of a 4-game winning streak going here. I think they need a few 4-game winning streaks over the course of the year if they're going to wind up with what I hope will be over 45 wins. I believe I said 47. And for them to be that good, they're going to have to be able to number one, you got to be better than other teams, and you got to be able to beat them in close games.
Bucks, Nets, Celtics, Knicks, Sixers, Bulls.
Atlanta?
There's a really gray area. You want to separate yourself from the Atlantas. You want to separate yourself from the Knicks. You want to be better than maybe the Sixers in this turmoil that they find themselves in.
That's a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
And because what's going on with them really could submarine them a little bit. The other thing is, keep an eye on the league. It's actually started already. Guys that stand at the 3-point line and then like pump fake, get a guy up and jump into him and toss up some nonsense, they are not making that call anymore. As this league has started, that happened in the Lakers game. I watched that one on, I recorded it and watched it the next day. If you are doing that, you're not going to get the call. So you're not going to the line. You're not suddenly unguardable. So that is going to change the league a little bit. I'm really looking forward to that because the Bulls don't do that.
The Bulls are definitely a team to pay close attention to, not only because we're in Chicago. I thought it was interesting. I read somewhere we talk about getting down on games and betting on games. The Bulls are like the fourth most bet on team in the NBA. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean, I guess, for or against. I don't know if it meant for or against, but their Bulls games are the fourth most bet on. Wow. I found that very interesting. Again, yep. This is the first year in a long time that they've been really watchable and listenable. Yeah, Barkley makes a ton of sense. I mean, I think they tried, you know, I've always been a standing on my little soapbox to get me up to like maybe 5'10", that the NBA is a league full of fantastic, unbelievably God-given ability athletes that don't use it every night. You know, a Tuesday night in February at any arena across the country, you might be disappointed that you paid $100 to go watch that. That was the one game that you were able to get tickets to and carve out the time. And they just don't play. And I get it, but I don't agree with it. So these guys, opening night, opening week, they're trying really hard. And it's kind of almost playoff basketball because they're all busting their rear ends. And I think it makes a lot of sense.
That's a good question, David.
How do you feel about the Blackhawks heading into this weekend in light of the ESPN report that the team isn't considering firing Jeremy Colleton? Dylan Strome has gone from being a top six forward to being a healthy scratch for the first four games until last night's game. Is Strome's situation an example of Jeremy Colleton keeping the standards high or not knowing how to develop top talent?
Yeah, you know, I'm a little bit perplexed by the very slow start. You know, I thought they had upgraded their defense. I thought that they had brought in some players and we were going to see a better defensive effort, and that's not what we're seeing. And that's the area that is really kind of letting them down. My fear for the Bulls is that they're going to discover 10, 15, 20 games into this that they're not very good, that they are a bad hockey team. And, you know, I don't know if Strome is representative of that, this idea that they're not as good as we thought they were, that we thought the young and the old combined was going to be something special, and it's not there. But they are in a very dangerous situation right now. That was unacceptable last night. It's just simply unacceptable. You know, that was a game where you were matched up against an opponent where you could actually win, and you didn't do anything. You know, have they led yet? Have they led in a game? It is just pathetic to see what's happening with this team. And frankly, it makes you wonder if the muddle of the front office issues, if all of these things are combining to really sap something from this team. But you can't help but feel like they got the wrong guy in charge. They got the wrong guys that they're lining up and that they went out and got. It just doesn't look very good right now, and it doesn't look like they're going to be a team that can put together four in a row.
I think Strome is just an example. I think you're seeing it now also with Kuryshev. What is a Jeremy Colleton player? I'm not sure we know yet, and we should. I don't know what Strome, if that is representative or not, but I do think it's another example. You wonder what happens to these guys who seem to flash and then they drop off and then they don't. I don't know what's valued and what's not, but they do have a problem. And I understand why the reporting suggests that Stan Bowman doesn't want to make a move. Stan Bowman doesn't want to fire the guy that he hired. Stan Bowman doesn't want to admit a mistake. But this is the roster Stan Bowman put together. And right. it's a more talented one than the one that ended last season. And yet they have gone now five games without a lead. 300 minutes and 57 seconds. 300 minutes and 57 seconds without a lead.
Crazy.
In 5-on-5, they have been outscored 17-3. It is their worst start since the 1997-98 season. There is a problem here. You can't ignore it. You can't hide from it. You can't deny it, and you're going to see it. You certainly can hear it. They were booed off the ice again last night, and they deserved it. And you're going to see it at the United Center in the way of empty seats. Out of curiosity, last night about 5:30, I went on StubHub and said, if I decided I wanted to go to the Hawks game, what would it cost right now to sit in the 300 level? You know what it was? $11.
Wow.
$11 for a ticket.
That's ridiculous.
That's going to get eventually Rocky Wirtz's attention, which is going to get Danny Wirtz's attention, which is going to get Stan Bowman's attention, and they may all be gone. I don't know. And I don't know how this connects to the off the field, off the ice stuff.
Right.
And we're trying to compartmentalize it. I'm sure they're trying to do it as well. But at some point in time, you wonder about the overall stress and strain of having to deal with some of these issues distract Stan Bowman from making decisions or making the right ones. This is a tough one, but this team is not getting any better, and you are at a 24-year low, and you cannot ignore that for much longer.
And you've got Taves back, right? On top of everything else, the captain's back. You would think that would have done something to kickstart things. I mean, does Jeremy Colliton have control over the lines? Yeah, I mean, is that something that is like negotiated? The general manager doesn't have any say in that. I just, you know, the healthy scratch, is that like an effort thing? Is it a lower body injury? Do they have to report this kind of stuff? But I, you know, we just talked about the Bulls in the previous question, and then we've talked about the Blackhawks in the question currently. Those are the two teams that reside on the west side at the United Center. And it's been a long time since the Bulls were more anticipated and talked about,
right,
in a hotter ticket. People are talking about, hey, let's get together and go to a Bulls game.
Right.
Like, I'm not hearing people say, you know, which Hawks game are you going to this year? I mean,
No. Outside,
I have friends that have both, not the same, but like, I have friends that have Bulls season tickets, and I have a few friends that have Blackhawks season tickets. Right.
And yeah, and I have people saying,
the guys with the Blackhawks season tickets,
you want my Blackhawks tickets?
They're the ones that are complaining. They're the ones that are already complaining.
Yeah.
They're the ones that are like, can you believe these prices? You know, like next week, can we have the playoff money? You know, could you cut the check for the playoff money, and then we'll refund you in June when we don't make it? I mean, this is a team that I thought would definitely be playing in the postseason. And is it the goalie's fault? They haven't won a game yet, and they've already switched goaltenders.
Well, they have and they haven't. They haven't
for a night, right?
But for a night. Yeah. I mean, that last night was a little bit curious that Andre Fleury didn't play, but I don't think...
On the surface, as a person who watches the Blackhawks but doesn't know the game like you know it, David, that's what that... Like, okay, we're not going to... It felt like they benched the goalie. Like, it was the goalie's fault. So the goalie basically has to stand on his head and have a shutout every night in order for this team to win. That's not fair.
Okay. Let's throw the Bears in this. If you think of what Barkley said, they're a third of the way through their season, right? And this is game 7 coming up. There'll be 10 left. Are they any good? Are they, as a 500 team, are they? Do you think that they have shown that they're
the Bears are exactly what
they are?
They are the epitome of mediocrity. The last 38 games that they have played, they are 19-19.
Are they going to be a 500 team this year?
No.
It's impossible.
So as much as we are picking on the Bears, that's a good question to ask, good way to frame it with the Barkley reference. But this is probably the best it's going to feel for the next month. You know, it's just going to go downhill from here. Look at the schedule.
Yeah.
They're 3-3, and we have picked apart why they're 3-3 and what's gone on this week, but they're looking at 3-6.
We're going to sit here and say, remember when they were 3-2 and they had the Packers at home and it was for first place in the division? You remember that?
Remember that fourth quarter drive if they had stopped it and made a one-score game, and boy, they could have gone to 4-2, and boy, that was really a fun time of possibility. Now look at them. Draft position.
Maybe they shocked the world down in Tampa.
And that's what the Hawks are looking at as well, I think, is your point, is that, boy, you wonder if early season indications are lasting and those impressions are hard to...
When are they going to win? This was the game they could have won. You look at their schedule.
The Hawks, next week, they play the Maple Leafs, the Hurricanes, and the Blues. Very good teams.
Yeah, not Gouda.
Not Gouda at all.
All right, 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you.
Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.